Today, I want to talk a little bit about our enemy that causes us to be like we are, and then the wonderful power that God has given us so we don't have to go the ways of the world. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's our enemy. Most people don't even understand demons. I was raised up in a church that never even taught about demons. And Satan, they didn't understand who he was. I ask many a PhD, where did Satan come from? You know, I don't understand this. You know, if God's a God of love, why did he make Satan? If he did, you know, where did he come from? You know, where are these demons? Where do they come from? And nobody could give me a good answer. So I just thought, okay, God, it's you and me and the Word. And I know if I study this Word long enough, I'll figure this out. Because I know you've revealed everything to us in your Word. So one day I was reading in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, 17, and 18. "For by him," Jesus, "all things were created." Okay, if I stop and meditate on that, who made everything? The Lord did. Yeah, God did. He made everything. And then he lists these things for us. "For by him were all things created, things that are in heaven, that are in earth, both visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." So who is he? He is God. He runs the universe. He's in charge of it. Whether you believe it or not, he's in control. When God makes statements what he will do in his word, he means that. If the scripture says here, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth." That pretty well covers the whole spectrum, doesn't it? Both visible and invisible. Now then, we have a visible earth and a visible cosmos that we can see, do we not? Is there an invisible world too that we don't see? Yeah, because you can't see God, can you? You can't see his angels, can you? Now, unless they manifest. When I think about our enemy and how the enemy does things, when my granddaughter was nearly killed in that car wreck, how that her spirit was opened and how a demon came into Caitlin. I didn't know it. I got her out of the hospital. She wasn't able to hardly walk and nothing. She was getting better every day. And one day, Tim and Maraca came out to see if I needed any help with Caitlin. And I said, "Yes, now that y'all are here," I said, "I've got to give Caitlin a bath." So I said, "If y'all would take her in the bathroom and give her a bath, it sure would help me. I appreciate y'all doing that." So they go back there and they get her ready for a bath. All of a sudden, Maraca comes running out. "Dad, Dad, something's wrong with Caitlin." Man, I dropped everything. I ran back in there, and Tim, any of y'all that know my son Tim, he's a bodybuilder. He was a football player in high school. I mean, he's a chunk of man. He could not hold Caitlin. She was screaming, climbing him all over. He said, "Dad, what's wrong with her?" I said, "Give her to me. She's got a demon." How did that evil spirit get in her? He got in at the wreck. When her little spirit was opened, that beast entered her. He had legal right because of some of the things her daddy had done in his life. It's awful what happens to us because we do not walk holy before God. I grabbed that little girl. I said, "You're in my care now. You're under my authority." And I said, "I'm a man of God, and I walk in obedience to God's word." And I said, "You demons of hell, come out of her in the name of Jesus." Tim and Maraca ain't never seen nothing like this in their life. She's screaming. And I'm commanding these demons to leave. And Tim saying, "Dad," I said, "Just be quiet." I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you." And she's clawing all over me. And any other time, she wouldn't have had enough strength to pick her leg up to put it in the bathtub. But today, she's a raving maniac. I continue to rebuke those demons and command them to leave. Our enemy, which most of us don't even know is there. He's there because we opened the door through sin. And he came into Caitlin at that wreck in just a few minutes there. I commanded those demons to leave her. And all of a sudden, she became a quiet, gentle little lady snubbing in my arms. And Tim says, "Dad, what happened?" I said, "No problem, son. She just had a demon. I kicked him out in the name of Jesus." What if I hadn't known these things? These devils of hell, these demons of hell, who made those demons? Who did the scripture say made them? God did them. He made them, didn't he? Well, why? If he made them for him and for his glory, then you get to thinking, if God is the God of love, why did he make demons? I'll tell you why he made them now. I now know. That's just like when the legislature makes a law down here in the state of Texas and they say the speed limit on that highway out there is 65 miles an hour. I realize once they make the law and put the sign up, nobody's ever going to break the law, right? Almost everybody breaks the law, don't they? Very few people. When you drive down that road out there at 65, very few are driving 65. Is that right? Most of them driving 70 or 75, whatever they can fudge and think they're not going to get caught, that's what they're doing. So what do we have to do? We have to hire a police department to control the multitudes. Is that right? Do you know? No offense to a police officer. They do a good job. But that's exactly what God made the demons for, to control the multitudes. He made a set of rules. He tells you in his book that if you will obey him, these spirits will not be able to touch you. He guarantees it. He even tells you, if you're walking in obedience to his word, he has given you all power and authority over those demons. They cannot touch you. But you better know the truth. I've been through some awesome deliverances in my life with people. I've been down in the floor with people, both men and women. I have been socked, hit, kicked, spit on, and everything else by demons, but no more. Because I now know who I am in Christ, and I don't have to worry about it. I can kick them out in the name of Jesus now, because I'm now well-trained in that area. I know my power and my authority, but I also know I have to walk in 100% obedience to God's word to have power over demons. And when I speak in the name of Jesus, they have to obey me. So I'm not afraid of a devil, just like those demons over there that day in the house. I knew I had power over those devils. I knew my life was clean. I knew I had power over them, and it took me a few minutes to get those devils out of Caitlin. But she's okay now. Do people in church have demons? Oh, sure we do. Yeah. I mean, we have demons, but we don't know what's causing us to do what we do. We don't understand it. Somebody said, well, if I have a demon, then what am I do with this thing? Hey, you repent and kick him out. That's what you do. You repent and kick him out. You don't let demons control your life as a Christian. But if you never learn who the enemy is and how he works, you'll never be able to get him out. Let's go on here. It says here, for by him, Jesus, were all things made, all things were created, things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. You know, when I first started studying the Bible, all of a sudden, after I'd read it a couple of times, I knew more than God did. Y'all know what I mean, right? You feel like when you begin to get a little knowledge, you think, okay, God, I could think of a better way to do this than you did it. You know, I wouldn't do it this way. And then all of a sudden, the longer you serve him and the more you begin to see how he's working and how all these things work, you think, wow, is he awesomely smarter than me? I don't even hold a light to him. Do y'all know what I mean? He knew what he was doing. And this is the way he is controlling the world. This is the way he judges the world, through these demons. I mean, he's in control. Now then, Paul told us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against those principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why do we have to wrestle against these things? What do we do about this? Well, let's go back to the scripture in verse 13 in Ephesians 6, and let's see what the Lord says about what we are supposed to do over this enemy. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers. So he said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The evil day. Why in the world do we have to have an evil day? I know none of us will ever sin again. Do you think you'll ever sin again? Sure, you'll sin again. Yeah, you'll sin again. You'll make a mistake. And most people today don't even know what sin is. They really don't know. Who would ever dream that God said in His Word, way back yonder a long time ago in the Old Covenant, He said, I sent the destroyer to kill them because of their grumbling and complaining. Do you think He likes grumbling and complaining? No. I know none of us ever grumble and complain. You know how hard it is to go through your whole day and never grumble and complain, not one single time? It's so easy to get off onto that grumbling and complaining. But God said He hates it. Don't do it. Because He said in the Old Covenant, He said, I sent the destroyer to kill them because of their grumbling and complaining. Now, if He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, do you want Him to send one of these demon destroyers against you because you're a continual, habitual grumbler and complainer? But do you know people that are like that? Now, is God merciful to them? Yes, he don't kill them the first time they grumble and complain, because if He did, I know one guy wouldn't be here today, don't you? You're pointing to yourself too. If He wasn't very merciful to all of us, none of us would be here, right? Because we have grumbled and complained and fussed and fought and done all kinds of things, and God in His infinite mercy has forgiven you. But He tells us here, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Well, what is the whole armor of God? Well, let's see what the next verse says. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's one of the weapons. Truth. What is truth? It's not what you think it is. Truth is the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God. You know, you'll see people say, well, I think God does this. Where'd you get that? Well, I just believe that's the way it is. Well, that's where God said in His Word, He said, let every man be a liar and only God be true. Is that what He said?
Yes. You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled We Can Change People's Lives, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.